Nick, good morning.
Morning.
So, Nick, where did the concept of swearing originate from?
Well, that's a hard one to answer. We think that this is found across all languages and cultures. Swearing is used in different ways, in different places. In some cultures, the taboo, so that thing that you can't say, isn't necessarily to do with words, but is to do with like people you can't talk about or concepts you can't talk about. In English, we have swear words.
Well, what exactly led you to begin researching swearing?
So I did my PhD research on the language used in a rugby team in New Zealand. I recorded all sorts of things in the locker room, on the pitch and so forth. And as you might imagine, rugby players swear a lot.
I would imagine so. Like, pretty big stereotype, I think.
Yeah. So I found that I did a thing that linguists do, which is we transcribed all the words, counted which ones were most frequently, obviously not by hand, I have software for doing that, and found that in certain interactions, in the ones that happened just before running out onto the pitch, the third most common word, and that includes words like the and a, the third most common word was, and I'll not swear just now because we're on air, is the F word.
Right. Well, I used to work backstage in a football stadium, actually, as a mascot. And I will admit, you know, I won't name names, but I did hear a lot of swearing back there. Well, what about in Australia? Why? What kind of social circumstances do Australians seem to be swearing a lot in?
Well, the thing about swearing is the actual act of swearing does a multiple bunch of things. One of the things we can use swearing for is to offend people, obviously, and some people do get offended by swearing. But one of the other things that we do, and this has shown up in studies on how, in what sort of situations people swear in, is that we tend to swear more amongst people that we know better. In other words, we swear amongst our mates, right? And so that means that swearing is something that it kind of reinforces this idea of mateship, this idea of solidarity. Australia has quite a strong culture of this kind of mateship and solidarity. In fact, it comes to the fore. We even see it explicitly referenced. And so it's no surprise that we get quite a lot of swearing and that there are high levels of tolerance in Australian culture for the presence of swearing.
Right. So do you think, because obviously some swearing can offend people and bring people apart, do you think it's more swearing in Australia is more bringing people together than pulling people apart?
I think it all depends on the circumstances in which it's used. The thing about swearing is it reinforces it, like it emphasizes anything you say. If you want to make the most extreme statement of something, you pop a swear word in. And that could be a compliment. It could be, oh, that was effing brilliant. Or it could be an insult, like, you're an effing whatever, right?
Yeah. If you're just tuning into The Daily this morning, we're joined live in the 2SER studio by Dr. Nick Wilson, a lecturer in the Department of Linguistics, who's discussing his research into the use of swearing in society and the history of such linguistics. So, Dr. Wilson, did you find that we use swearing purely intentionally to offend someone, or when we're angry or frustrated? What are the other circumstances when swearing is used?
So, yeah, it's used sometimes to offend. It's used sometimes to to show that you're friends with somebody, to show that there's a sort of lack of formality between people. So in much a similar way that in languages where there's, you might be familiar with like French or something, where you have different forms of you, you have like tu and vu, and you can only use tu with someone who you know well. Well, we can swear with people that we know well because we know that they're going to accept it. There's going to be some people that you know well enough and you know they don't like it, and so you don't. But it's one of these kind of social boundaries that we understand as we manage our social relationships. But the other thing you mentioned was to express frustration, and there is another side of swearing, and there have been more sort of neuro-linguistic pieces of research on this where they've put, you know, brain scanner type things on people and then got them to swear, and it activates certain centres of the brain. It also produces what's called an electrodermal response, so they were able to wire up people's skin, and it literally makes the hairs stand up on the back of your neck or the back of your arm when you swear. There's some kind of physiological reaction. It also helps people tolerate pain better. And it has been shown in one study to increase people's strength as well. So they ran people's through sort of fitness tests and weightlifting tests and stuff, and did some where they could swear and some where they couldn't. And the people who could swear could lift more. They could also in other studies, they could tolerate more pain. So, you know, that thing that happens when you stub your toe on a door frame in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
If you yell out and swear, it will hurt less than if you just keep quiet.
I kind of feel better about swearing every time I hurt myself. I'm not too sure. If I'm at the gym and I'm lifting something pretty heavy, will swearing help me exercise?
As I said, that comes from one study, and that has been, I wouldn't say that that's absolute, you know, incontrovertible evidence, but it's an interesting finding nonetheless.
As you said before, you spoke about swearing in France and the social acceptance. When I was in Poland a few years ago, good here, I won't say the word out loud in case there's Polish speakers, but there was a lot of swearing in Poland. Is swearing pretty much universal amongst humans?
It doesn't necessarily need to be swearing itself. It's a word or words or set of expressions that people are not supposed to say. So you'll find that if you look at the actual swear words that are used in different languages, they have different literal meanings. So in English, many of our swear words have to do with sex or to do with bodily fluids or to do with religion as well. Right? They are the main set of topics. In other languages, they're are often different topics that are to be additional topics. Some of those are the same. And in some Australian languages, in Australian Indigenous languages, it's not so much the topics, but it's to do with like the particular people or the particular relationship between people is a taboo concept, and you cannot say that person's name because of the social relationship between you and them. So it gets very, very complex once we start unpacking what is taboo and what isn't. And it relates to some of the, you know, societal concepts of taboo, things like, you know, not eating excrement and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, so things that have a sort of negative thing tend to have some sort of taboo language with them. The other one is things like incest. These all have some negative language associated, and the taboo of the actual action or whatever it is extends into the language, so it starts to become taboo to even talk about it. It starts to become taboo to use the words that are associated with it. Then we start using other things that are more socially acceptable, and that's where the other end of the spectrum, the other end of swearing, is euphemism. And it's where we start saying things, so we avoid talking about death by saying that somebody kicked the bucket, for example. That's a slightly less of polite euphemism, but it's all part and parcel of trying to avoid directly mentioning some kind of taboo topic.
Do you think swear words are going to become less taboo?
Many of them already have, differently in different cultures. So, for example, in Australia, certainly I'll definitely say this one because it's not even considered a swear word. So to say bloody in Australia is not, it doesn't even register as a swear word anymore. But that was still regarded as offensive language in the UK only, what, about 15 years ago, and wasn't allowed on to be broadcast. And so there was an advert that the Australian Tourism Agency, whatever they
are. It's the Where the Bloody Hell Are You?
That's the one, exactly. Yeah. And so that was released in the UK. They said, oh, you can't have that. You can't say that. That's so rude. It's so insulting. And so it just shows how different, even places with the same language, the different cultural ideas surrounding swearing are different and the levels of tolerance are different.
Absolutely. Well, that's all the time we've got for this morning. Dr. Nick, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks very much.
Thank you.